Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Good afternoon. Phoenix Business Radio X here broadcasting live from the Sheraton Grand at Wild Horse Pass with Co-op's Think 18. We've been out here all day and having a blast with a couple more interviews to go. And before we talk to our guests, I would like to introduce you to my co-host, Ryan Reyes with Arizona Small Business Association. Welcome back, Ryan.
Thank you, Karen. Appreciate it.
This has been fun, hasn't it?
It has. It's been actually very insightful, I would say.
Informative. So we're here with Co-op, which obviously, I should say obviously, now like I'm a pro, obviously, they serve the credit union industry. And the Think Conference, what we've learned, right, is all around technology and advancement, but also how to continue to be in front of customers and members from a real personable perspective, but keep up with fintech, my new term.
And GUI.
And the bank, right. So with that in mind, we'd like to introduce you to our two guests today. We have John Schneider and David Otten, who are the debt-free guys, right, and Queer.Money. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us.
Thrilled to have you. Yeah. So you told us a moment ago that this is your first conference this year, Think Conference.
Correct.
Yeah. What are you finding? It's only been a day and a half. Have you been here since Monday night?
We did get in Monday night. I think that one of the things we're finding is it's a great environment because the food.
Yeah, I started smelling lunch about 10 minutes ago. I'm like, oh.
Welcome to Arizona.
Exactly.
So the food is good. The atmosphere is great.
And the speakers are awesome. The caliber of speakers and the information that's being conveyed. So John and I are not in the credit union space, but we are really engaged with the information that is being shared because, as you mentioned earlier, their focus is to try to connect with their audience, their members, and we do the same. And so whenever we can find little tidbits of information and share them with our audience, it works for us as well.
Love it. What is a debt-free guy? I mean, obviously, that's kind of a silly question. But yes, clearly.
Not me.
Yeah, I was going to say, not a debt-free gal, but tell us about debt-free guys and how it came into fruition.
Sure. Well, David and I are a gay couple. A year and a half after we got together, we had a discussion and realized that we had $51,000 worth of credit card debt between the two of us. The irony was, though, at the time, we had about 15 years worth of financial services experience. So while we were helping other people manage their money, we weren't managing our own. So we thought, something's not right here. We need to fix this. We had a come to Jesus moment, lots of self-reflection, and we eventually paid off our debt in 2.5 years and decided that...
2.5?
Right. We were militant.
And we weren't making a significant amount of money at the time. It was just making some changes in our lives.
And sticking with it.
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
Wow.
Like, we're just going to bring our checkbooks, Karen.
Yeah, clearly. Wow, congratulations. And this was how long ago did you become debt-free?
Roughly 11 years. Yeah, wow. About 11 years ago.
Yeah. So we decided to use what we know professionally and what we learn personally, write a book, and help other people in our community manage their money because we know that we're not the only gay couple who struggles financially.
We're just like everyone else in the population that we have things that distract us financially, things that make us feel good financially, and things that really make us feel bad financially. And when we feel bad financially, more often than not, we resort to therapy spending, just like therapy eating. And yeah, so we decided that it's important for us to share those with the rest of our community, especially.
Brilliant. Yeah. And have you already shared where you're from in the country?
No, I don't think so. We're from Denver, Colorado.
Okay. Oh, nice. Yeah. So not too far to get here.
No, it's about 1 hour and 8 minute flight.
Oh, wow.
Just long enough to write an article draft.
Yeah, there you go. Perfect. Always working. You alluded to your profession and your business prior to the two of you coming together and making this commitment to go debt-free and then obviously turning it into a platform to help others. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about your backgrounds?
Yeah.
Sure. I worked in financial services for probably about 9 years before John and I got together. Prior to that, I really didn't have a lot of instruction from my family or in the school systems about how to manage money. And as I came out as an individual, I kind of fell into the bad habits of wanting to feel good in life. And so I spent carelessly, unconsciously, you know, that's one of the things I say often is that most of us spend unconsciously, just like we drive down the road, we go through an intersection and we kind of wonder after we've gone through, was that a red light or a green light? And I think that's the way we oftentimes get with our credit cards, which, you know, we're talking at the conference this week a lot about technology and how it's going to make things easier for us. But there's also a word of caution, how it's going to make it so much easier for us to automatically get that Amazon product in the mail every 2 weeks or every month and not really be concerned about where our spending is going.
And sometimes as a consumer, some of those hidden fees or the fees that we forget about.
Right.
Something as simple as, you know,
the Prime.
What's that?
The Prime.
Right. Right. Yeah. Or you sign up, hey, sign up for this 30-day thing for free,
but
give us our credit card information and then, you know, stay with us or not. And then of course I'm shocked when that, you know, the $90 monthly fee shows up. I'm like, oh, that was 4 months ago. Right.
Right. And it happens. And, you know, you get these annual
renewal
fees. Thank you. Like you said, all of a sudden you see this on your credit card and you're like, what was that?
Uh-huh.
And you look at this cryptic description.
I text my husband,
like,
do you know
this?
What this is, right? Same conversation.
We do the exact same thing. I'll text him and say, what was this $36 you spent? And he's like, I don't know. And then we try to figure it out.
Yeah.
And I think we also are living in a payment lifestyle right now. Everything only costs $10 a month or $30 a month. And it seems like we can all afford that. But then when you accumulate all of that together, all of a sudden you're spending a couple hundreds, even sometimes thousands of dollars on all these service fees and continuations of these programs for yourself.
Ryan was mentioning earlier that obviously as a society, we live well beyond our means. Mm-hmm. And so everything I'm guessing about the two of you is really helping people come back to reality and take responsibility.
Exactly. And in most situations, it's not so much how much money you earn as how much money you're spending. Now, there are outliers, of course, but if you can just get your finances in order in line with what your income is, then you can make major progress.
John, your background, are you finance as well?
Yes, I've been in financial services since 2000. And then he and I got together and decided to grow our own business. And I've been working for myself for about 2 years. But my background is I came from a family who didn't talk about money. It was rude to talk about money. So I didn't really learn anything from my family about managing money. And of course, school didn't do any good.
Right.
So we personally pretty much figured it out on our own. And we thought if we're in this situation, there's got to be a lot of other people who are also in the same situation. So that's kind of where our business came from.
Do we have numbers for that or percentage? Because I think it's more common.
It's a reoccurring theme.
It is that as a society, the majority of us haven't been taught how to manage our money. It's either been taboo, we don't talk about it, or we got screwed up along the way because we had some mixed messages. Yes. Do we know what percentage of our... I don't even know.
I think it's a conspiracy.
I sometimes do. You know, I hear myself say, I know I'm doing everything right. Like I'm a good girl. I've raised a great family. I've been successful in business. There's this missing piece still, and haven't been able to quite put my finger on it. But like you, I'm taking responsibility to try to educate and keep learning. I do, like Ryan, need to start listening to your podcast so I can have it happen in 2 years? Holy cow. That's fantastic.
That's awesome.
That's a lot of debt to wipe off. And you had mentioned that at the time you really weren't earning a great income collectively.
The main focus was that we realized we were living what we call a fabulously broke life.
Great term.
Right. So that's our tagline, our slogan right now is to live fabulously, not fabulously broke. Because it's so easy to get caught up in wanting to live that fabulous life. You want those shoes or you want to take that vacation. You want those golf clubs. And everyone in your life is encouraging you to do that, right? Everybody's excited when you get a new car or you're going to buy a new home. But nobody ever says, how is that affecting your financial future? How is that affecting your finances right now? And vast majority of us struggle and worry about money on a weekly basis. Actually, in the LGBT community, it's 56% of the community worries about money on a weekly basis.
Oh.
Which more than half, almost 2/3 of people in our community, and that's similar in the general population, we're worrying about money, but then we turn around and we make these purchases to make ourselves feel better. So it's kind of this cycle that just keeps repeating itself, repeating itself, repeating itself. And so John and I said, how do we break this?
Yeah.
What are some things that we need to do to break it?
We had earlier, in fact, the last segment was Brandon from Coastal Credit Union, and he was speaking to a neat, what would you call it?
He had a good tagline for it. I can't remember the name of it, but it was basically education into
reality. I think they called it the Reality Conference, and they help high school students with volunteers take them through simulations for purchasing and buying. So that dress that you want, those shoes, maybe the best phone out there, and they're given kind of a persona an avatar, who they are and how much money and you know, how accessible their money is. Isn't that how you understood it?
Yep.
And so how great to take these college kids, and then the volunteers are there to kind of be the, you know, the persuasive, oh yeah, you do need a new phone, but you really need the i5. You need the hottest, the latest, greatest, right. And you can do it in 4 easy payments.
Right? It's like exactly, the angel right? And devil on each right? shoulder telling them.
And what yeah. a brilliant way to help educate kids to start making wiser decisions before they, you know, get to be 53 years old and they're still like, oh, I think I'll buy that on credit.
Right. But I think to David's point, no matter what community or who, you know, it's basically you're peer pressured almost per se,
right,
into it, whether, you know, from an early age or even as an adult, you know, mm-hmm. by your friends' habits, your habits. And I think it's just like you said, being able to curb that back and then be like, whoa, maybe I don't need that.
Yeah, inevitably it seems like we're either competing with Mr. and Mrs. Jones or mm-hmm. we're competing with Mr. and Mr. Jones,
right?
And you know, it's not a winning formula. You just can't compete that way. And we know from our own experience that so many in our community feel that if they don't have those status symbol purchases, they sort of feel invalidated. They didn't get validation when they were younger because most of us came from a time and a place when it wasn't okay to be gay. And now that we're older and we have our own community of other LGBT people, we still feel like we need to compete to fit in. And until you can kind of
break
shed
that
all
pattern.
That way, yeah, mm-hmm. you're going to be in that vicious cycle that David was talking about.
Right. And that's really kind of our focus is to, as we've had others in the the personal finance space use this term of breaking the taboo of talking about money. We need to talk about money as a society, as a culture, as individuals, as families. We need to talk with each other about money. Now, obviously, it's going to vary as to who, you know, what kind of, how exposed you get or how vulnerable you get, but especially with your family members, the ones that unfortunately you may end up not being with because of financial fights, you know, that happens so frequently. It's money is the reason why so many people in this country fight. And it's the number one cause for divorce. Mm-hmm. And so if you can remove that, just think of removing that stress from your family life, how much better your relationship with your spouse would be, with your children. It would be great to be able to do that. And one of the best ways to do that is to focus on spending money on the things that actually make you happy. And it's not just that temporary happy, like the caramel macchiato. We all like to pick on Starbucks, right?
Every time there's a money conversation, Starbucks gets drug in there. And they should, though.
Blame David Bach for that.
Right. But I think that there's lots of other little purchases that we do that with. And we make these kind of concessions. Oh, well, it's little. It's only $10. And those $10 add up.
Exactly. And that's why I think this is a great opportunity for credit unions, because almost 60% of the LGBT population does not trust banks and larger financial institutions because they don't feel like they can either understand them or that they actually want to help them. And I think it's a great opportunity for credit unions to help our community start to engage with their finances more appropriately so they can succeed.
I don't know how to make the statement or ask a question, but it's more of an observation as you're sharing. The conversation around money has been taboo. The conversation around being gay is taboo. And so obviously we need to shift that. Yeah. And so it's fascinating to me that you've married the two and how important of a job that is.
Yeah. It was kind of a struggle to get to this point. You know, we started our business in 2012. Is that about right? Mm-hmm. And for a couple of years, we were kind of trying to speak to everybody. And we were at a personal finance conference and a woman journalist sitting across the table from us said to us, why are you trying to beat Dave Ramsey? You're never going to beat him. He's already captured that market. But you're a gay couple and nobody's speaking to your community.
Love it.
Imagine the opportunity you have with that. And we started speaking to our community shortly after that conference. And within 6 months, all sorts of opportunities opened up for us to actually be able to affect change and help people.
Yeah, once we know who we are and we own who we are, we can step into our passion, our purpose so much more clearly. So how great that she like handed it to you on a platter, right? After struggling a little bit.
Exactly.
Yeah, when it comes to marketing, obviously, if we're trying to speak to everyone, like as an executive leadership coach for the years that I've been doing that, people would usually say in the early days, who's your target audience? Who do you want to work with? I'm like, oh, well, everybody. Right. Everybody could benefit working for me. Well, really, then I'm speaking to no one.
Yeah.
But when I got that clarity, then everything started to just clip.
It takes
off.
A while to pick up on that. I don't know why we all seem to struggle with that, but we don't want to niche down. And it seems like, especially now, because there's so much communication out there, the more you niche down, the better your communication is.
Yeah, so much noise. And especially when it's a technology or an online business, which I, obviously yours is a good portion of that. That's how people can access your show, your books, your education, and the community, right?
Right.
And so being niche and really specific helps people find you much, much quicker. So let's talk a little bit about the book. When was it out? And can you give us a brief summary as to what it all entails?
Sure. So the book is semi-autobiographical story of us getting out of debt. It's called the Four Principles of a Debt-Free Life. And really the idea was John and I kind of explained to people, this is the process that we went through. This is what we did. We pulled in some anecdotes, not only from our lives, but what we were seeing going on in the media, what was current at the time. The book came out in 2015, so it's a couple years old. But it basically we break down the four principles that we used and that we feel are fundamental to getting out of debt. And when we use those principles and when we encourage our audience to use those principles, that's when we see people making transformational change and actually getting out of debt. Because I don't know how many, you know, how many New Year's that went by where we said, let's get out of debt, or I want to get out of debt.
And then you buy each other an expensive gift.
And I want to be skinny.
Right.
We try to do everything.
And then I go join the gym and I'm buying you that great gift that I've been promising or I've always wanted to get you. And well, let's do this next year.
But right. Now they're essentially giving us permission now. No more Valentine's Day gifts. No
more. Right. That's a cop out.
Right.
I still expect candy.
Right. Love it. So how can folks get a hold of you and listen? So let me back up. Tell us about the podcast.
Oh, sure.
Sure. Our podcast is called Queer Money. I think it's twofold. One, because money is so strange and foreign to most people. They don't understand, you know, personal finance or money because we don't have the education. But then on the flip side, we do like to focus on stories that are coming out of the LGBT community, whether it's stories of success or individuals who are maybe going down a new path, you know, traveling that new path for the rest of our community or other communities. So we like to focus on those two aspects, but we also drop in money tips all along the way. So that's our podcast. It comes out every Tuesday on iTunes and Stitcher and all of the podcasting platforms.
And do you have guests or is it typically just the two of you? You are telling stories with guests.
Yeah, more often than not, we have guests. Most recently, we had on Tim Gill, the multimillionaire philanthropist who founded Quark. That was pretty exciting and inspiring. We've had Dominique Jackson, who is one of the leading trans fashion models, how she went from living on her own in Tobago to moving to New York and becoming a fashion model. All sorts of great stories.
Yeah.
And really incredible people. I love it. Are you vendors for this event?
We are not. We're just media.
So just participate. Oh, media.
Yeah.
Yes. So do you, you're kind of doing what we're doing or where would I find you
around.
If I ever get to leave this little neck of the woods?
We're just walking around, sitting in on conferences, talking with whomever we can talk with, trying to see, you know, what opportunities there are for our community to connect with the credit union space and also to see what we can share with other platforms.
John and I are also regular contributors to Forbes. So we write on Forbes.com and we write basically the personal finance vertical covering LGBT stories or issues. And so we came to the conference really kind of the idea of trying to see what credit unions are doing to reach out to the LGBT community. You know, one of the things that we've said before is if you see it, you can be it. And unfortunately, financial services they haven't been showing the LGBT community very much. And so we're trying to find out who are the champions, who are the ones who are succeeding, because we want to tell others, those are the ones that we want to work with. If you're championing our community, we're going to champion you as well.
We're only a day and a half into the conference. Are you starting to have some of those answers and some of those credit unions and or ancillary services rise to the top to be able to tangibly say and show, here's what we're doing? Or are you still on the search?
We're still on the search. Although I will say that we are encouraged that we're hearing the discussion around diversity of thought and diversity of what
people
look
like. That's the theme, yeah.
Right. And really, when you think about it, the way our culture in the United States is changing, we have changed significantly. 20% of millennials do not identify as straight. So that is a huge number. If you're trying to reach the millennial audience and you're not inclusive of the LGBT audience, you're missing 20% of them. And 70% of millennials expect when you go into the workplace that you have a workplace inclusion policy. There's evidence out there that people want it, we're waiting for businesses to catch up for.
But I think you're going to see the shift. I mean, you know, I'm with the Small Business Association for Arizona, right? So Arizona Small Business. So I see that now. I mean, a lot of it, you're a lot more people are more open. They're more apt to understanding all the communities. And it's just, at the end of the day, it's business, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think you're seeing that shift. I think it's only going to get better. I myself am a Gen Xer. So, you know, I'm kind of on the border. You
Me
know?
Too.
Yeah. So, but it's really neat to actually see the transition and then the partnerships and that you make. It's very unique, and I really enjoy it, at least part of being with my association. But
I think in financial services, it's the opportunity is to follow what women have done.
Sure.
Women have taken over, have so much more influence in financial services in general relative to what they had 30 or 40 years ago. And I think any smaller demographic can follow that same process.
Sure. I will remind your listeners or other individuals who are thinking about this topic that the LGBT community in the United States represents $1 trillion of buying power every year. $1 trillion. And the companies that are out there at the forefront are going to be the major beneficiaries of that. And today, that's travel companies. More than 10% of the money that our community spends, they spend on travel. So if you want to tap that market, there's plenty of opportunity, especially for financial services, because we need to encourage more individuals to be financially strong.
Sorry, busy fingers. And on a very important conversation, my apologies.
No,
but travel, wow.
Yeah, that's a
I think
one.
That opens up a great opportunity, because if we're spending that much on travel, it would only serve our community if credit unions could connect with us and help us better invest and save that money. And it helps credit unions as well. So it's mutually beneficial if we stop spending so much on travel and clothing and dining out, which are our leading expenses.
Yeah. As you've been sharing, one of the things that I can't remember which one of you mentioned it, you spoke to your role being here, you know, listening and having an opportunity to speak to the companies and credit unions organizations who are really embracing the LGBTQ community. Business-wise, who do you two need as an introduction? Like, as you look at the landscape of your business and how you're showing up for community, how can someone like Business Radio X that's really primarily serves B2B, who do you need to be in front of? Is it I guess I'm asking, are you looking for sponsors or speaking gigs? What, tell us who you need to be in front of to grow and continue to influence more folks.
So our desire is to grow our platform of the debtfreeguys.com platform. We want companies who want to connect with our community. So if you're looking to advertise, especially in the financial services space, but also there's lots of other ways that the LGBT community spends our money, and we encourage them to spend it wisely, and we'll give advice and tips on how to spend wisely. So if you're wanting to connect with that community, we certainly wouldn't mind reaching out to us.
An introduction to that community, an opportunity to be in front of them as it relates to finances, travel, maybe entertainment, restaurant, anything. Excellent.
Exactly.
So
to that end, we are looking for sponsorships, both for our podcast as well as for our website. And we also do public speaking as well.
What is your, so on your podcast, about how many followers that you can share with?
Numbers guy right there.
So right now, we are averaging roughly around 1,100 to 1,200 listens per episode, which is fairly decent considering the average podcast gets about 165 after 30 days. So we feel pretty good about that. Our website has about 16,000 unique visitors every month. And that is growing rapidly because we're doing a little bit more effort on our side to reach our community. And so the more we reach our community, the more they're engaging back with us. It's amazing to us how many people reach out to us, email us, and tell us their stories of why they're struggling or how they're struggling with debt. And so we're right there being able to help them, encourage them. And the nice thing is that once we help them get out of debt, you know, I like to say financial advisors, and I include credit unions in this, we're not really financial advisors. We're the dream makers. Mm-hmm. Because people who actually take care of their money, they're the ones who get to do the things that they've always dreamed about doing, right? So the better we can do with taking care of our money, the better we can help others take care of their money, the more people in this world get to actually achieve their dreams.
And our role is to sort of pass them off then to the financial advisors so that they can help them grow their assets and net worth.
Love it. On social media?
We are the Debt-Free Guys everywhere.
Okay, Debt-Free Guys everywhere.
Facebook, Twitter, where else?
Instagram.
Yeah.
And the website?
debtfreeguys.com.
Okay. And the podcast is Debt Free Guys.
Exactly. You can go to debtfreeguys.com and click on podcasts and go to Queer Money, or you can just go to queer.money.
Yeah. Love it. What a great introduction to the two of you today and everything that you're doing for all of us, especially folks in your community. I love that Forbes has embraced. And how long have you been writing for Forbes?
A little over a year.
I love that, because as you've spoken to, you know, kind of your mission here while you're walking around the Sheridan, listening and watching for companies who support the LGBT community, and you have Forbes who's already, if Forbes is doing it, why shouldn't everybody else be? Right. I mean, it's kind of a cheeky way to say it, but but I mean that, like, how great that they've recognized the value of who you are as individuals, as partners, but also a force to be reckoned with when it comes to financing. So thank you for the work that you're doing.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for this opportunity. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Now cue music. I am so sorry. You've been listening to Phoenix Business Radio with Business Radio X. Some media leans left, some lean right, and we lean business. Until next time, I'm Karen Nowicki.